This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today. Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. To my left, as always, well, usually you're on my right. This week you're on my left.
I am on your left.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
Christopher, how are you?
I am, I've calmed down since last Thursday.
Thank God. I was going to figure that Aunt Donna sent you a few messages of which she was not approving of ratting her out.
Listen, I don't have an Aunt Donna, and if I did, I wouldn't have told the podcast audience that she is a judgmental B-word who jacks off an associate pastor in her free time.
Did you say the B-word last time you were on the podcast?
No, because I don't generally say that about most women. So just
it's been a traumatic week, though. Yesterday, your mom told me she hated me publicly on Facebook.
It is true.
For some reason, that doesn't surprise me.
What are you trying to imply, Nick?
That voice is Nick Taylor. Nick, how are you doing?
Not bad. How are you?
Good, good. Creighton's roommate. Yeah. We get Creighton's roommate on the podcast more than we actually get Creighton anymore.
Someone's got to take over.
Chris Peffers is here.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You're a terrific host.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Your brother Daniel is in Colorado. On a THC scale of 1 to 10, how much is in his body at this moment?
Probably like 10 and a half.
10 and a half? So he's basically just getting baked all the time.
Perhaps.
Okay.
That's kind of how I saw it.
I bet his anxiety is so low.
He's turned into Chris Peffers. he's gone from Daniel Peffers to Chris.
Some people call that evolution.
Right. Yeah, the last time Chris Peffers was here, his final words were, "Yeah, man, cops. Stop killing people. You're really bumming me out."
It needed to be said.
It was profound. It was profound.
In episode 100, we had we were giving closing arguments or whatever we call it. We've never 112 episodes in, we've never figured out what to call the end of the show.
You've named it several times. I know, none of them have stuck.
Nick, would you switch microphones with what's his face there?
I could.
Yeah, please. Thank you. No particular reason. I just want you to.
Brings you pleasure? Like, what's going
on?
Yes,
well,
here?
This is my realm. Welcome to my realm.
All right.
And so, dear leader says, so it shall be. Yes, that's better. Everybody sounds better. The thing is, that microphone's a little weird, and he'll probably talk way more, and so it just, you know.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
He gave you the crummy
one. Just give
one.
Me the shitty microphone.
It's not from Radio Shack. My coworker Jeff...
Nothing's from Radio Shack anymore.
No, I threw all that stuff
out. Is it Goodwill? Goodwill fine?
Goodwill microphone, yes. Jeff Vibbert, my coworker, still has one of my microphones from like January or December. So I need to have a discussion with him tomorrow. I might have to break his legs.
Who, he is going to be opening for Pat McAfee? Yes.
He will, yes. So
he's opening for Pat McAfee?
He's a stand-up comic.
Okay.
Yeah,
Pat McAfee is as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pat actually, he's the Pulse Cunter.
Okay.
What exactly is he?
I got that one all mixed up.
I think we all knew what he was.
The Colts punter. And Jeff is a coworker of mine, a writer on the Bob and Tom Show, and he's a stand-up comedian. And he's opening. They're playing this big stage, like 1,100 people. It's going to be pretty crazy. So. So, yeah, check out Jeff. Jeff Vibbert has a podcast. You can listen to it. I was on it. I was on one episode. And then after that, you don't need to listen anymore. So, Chris, since you were last here, that was Christmas time. It's May
now. Sounds about right.
Right?
Yeah.
So several months have gone by, 5 months since we've last seen you. Have you done anything productive with your life?
Not super productive.
All right.
Well, I did get out of my job at Myers. That was pretty productive.
Did they ask you to leave, or were you voluntarily leaving yourself?
Well,
you don't have to say.
the rules were just so oppressive. They wanted me to show up on time, right?
Right. And that shit just cannot be tolerated.
I mean, 5 a.m., jeez.
Oh, is that serious?
Yeah, it was 5 to 1:30 was my shift.
Oh, that was never going to happen.
All right, I'm with you.
I showed up at like 5:15.
Yeah.
I would have stayed the 15 minutes if they'd let me. But anyway, yeah. So
you're looking for a job.
Or whatever.
Looking might be a stretch.
You're just basically looking...
If I find a job, sure,
somebody who will give you money to smoke weed. Is that what we're talking about? Is that what you're looking for?
I mean, that'd be nice.
Why don't you move out to Colorado with your brother? Talk into that mic for me, too. This is a podcast.
Why don't I move to Colorado with my brother?
Yeah. He's doing well. I hear he has a girlfriend like that.
Yeah.
I hear he's engaged.
No.
His girlfriend is pregnant.
It's very ambiguous what's going on there, but...
Is he ambiguous or is she ambiguous?
They're both being kind of ambiguous, yeah.
Coy, yeah. I don't like when that happens.
But they're always tagging each other in Facebook, so...
Oh, see?
I guess that's the real measurement, right?
So, I guess he's become a kingpin of pot, right?
I think right now he's like the accountant's assistant where he's working.
he's assistant to the accountant.
Yeah.
That sounds like Melvin in Office Space.
Oh, it's going to happen sooner or later.
Yeah.
Well, tell your brother, give him your best.
We
don't care, but give him your best.
I sent him that text you sent me yesterday about everyone. Yesterday, I get an important text from Chris Spangle telling me that ISIS threats have closed down several highways.
Did you get that as well?
Yes.
It was a shortened link, which made me suspicious.
Right.
I shouldn't have clicked it.
I got plenty of responses. Is this spam? And I wrote back, no, but it's super scary.
And it was indeed super scary.
Could you describe what it was? Was it, in fact, an ISIS threat closing down story? Was it big enough to close down an interstate?
It might have been big enough to close down an interstate.
It was a bear?
It was certainly a meaty discovery.
It was a large black gentleman.
Yes.
I say gentleman because he looked very refined.
He did. He was
wearing a collar.
Would Joe Biden call him articulate and clean?
I don't know about that. But maybe the biggest penis I have ever seen in my life. To which one female friend responded, I'm putting that on my bucket list.
That's quite a bucket.
No, don't look at her. That was
That is quite a bucket.
No, she listens and she knows who she is. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to bring that up.
Yeah, so that was a good prank. If you want that, send me a Facebook message and I'll send it to you.
Did you get a Nick?
I didn't have his number. I put it in the chat.
Oh, that's right. That's right. What'd you think?
So the next link I get from you guys, I just shouldn't open it? Is
if
that
it's
the
ever
case
from
here?
Spangle and it's a text asking you to open something, just do not do it. That is the absolute first
text
rule.
Text it to one of your buddies and get them to open it and see what their reaction is.
Right.
The man lives to troll. Unless it's, you know there's something important going on in his life, you do not ever open a text message from him.
I work in a job where I man the internet station for a comedy show. You wouldn't believe the filthy things that I get. And that was one of them. And I just pass a lot of that along, send it to one of my coworkers, who I think sent it to our boss. So I don't know if he's going to be back tomorrow or not, but I can't wait to hear how that went. So, yeah, I think if you watch our Facebook page, you can tell that we have a little bit of that trolling spirit, too. There's always... Somebody's getting their Jimmy's rustled on our Facebook page at We Are Libertarians. So, good times. Nick, you are living with Creighton.
Yes.
Do you two work out? Do you guys go lift weights?
Yeah, do you guys lift?
We do. Do you even lift?
No, I don't.
No.
See? It's something
I'm just naturally strong. I woke up like this.
Everyone can be stronger, though.
Everyone could be stronger, but not if you're the strongest man in the world. Would you like to fight? Greg, fight him.
You know, sometimes the heaviest things we carry are our feels.
This is very true.
Oh, does Creighton take smelly bowel movements. I want to ask the embarrassing questions that I want to ask. I'm not going to bring up. I asked those before.
You should not do those. No. Those are not relevant.
I don't know if we can talk about that thing, but we won't talk about the specific thing that I, you know, that thing. But
wait, which thing?
The thing.
Oh, okay.
The trigger.
So the shocking thing that we talked about.
You know what's so funny is like I had heard you and Creighton talk about this kid forever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, and you were on the show before I was ever even a part of this. And
we can't say what episode, but you may be able to figure it out. If you've listened to all 112 now.
And but then I met you and your girlfriend that night at Liberty Karaoke, that event that Creighton put on, which was a fun time. That the African American cowboy with the pink rhinestones.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
I actually saw that guy again after that. It was.
You did?
Yeah. Down here, actually right around the corner.
At DC's?
No, Mucky Duck.
Mucky Duck.
Oh, yeah. That's right around the corner from me.
They had a karaoke competition that my buddy was singing in. And
nice. So you frequent the circuit?
No, not really.
Please tell me there's a circuit.
There actually is.
There is kind of actually, yeah.
How do I get on
that? You can win a lot of money doing that if you're a really good singer.
Oh, I can kill it on Dream On.
My buddy has won like $1,000 before, I think.
That's about right, yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, and all you got to do is show up and sing and drink.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a good time.
That was a fun time. Creighton did, what did he do? He did Wagon Wheel. Not the Darius Rucker version, though. He was very adamant.
The good version. The good Rucker version.
And then he did Why Don't You Ever Call Me By My Name. Did he do that by David Atko?
Yep.
And I think he did one. I mean, Creighton was, and keep in mind, there were only about, 12 of us there for the Liberty event. And they had pretty much, like, kept this place open for us.
Yeah.
Thinking, like, oh, this is affiliated with Rand Paul. This is going to be great turnout. Like, 12 people that all know Creighton show up. and he's dominating the mic.
Of course.
Doing the karaoke.
He was trying to keep it alive, though, you know?
I think at one point he was getting tipsy.
You know, you never know. You sit around for 3 or 4 hours and have a few heavy IPAs.
And I mean, he asked me specifically, and I think you were standing right there, and he goes, "Why doesn't Chris lift, man?"
Did he really say that?
total drunken moment, and I'm like,
he does every time he comes over.
Come
he's
on,
like,
bro.
Every time come he comes over,
bro,
he does.
Let's go.
He's just, like, bro.
Let's just go to the gym right after this podcast.
You and Nick and I, we can go to Anytime Fitness. It's open anytime. We can start lifting. We can bro down. You get swole. I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. Great, yeah.
We could totally shotgun a beer right after we get out.
And then listen to some American music.
Yeah.
He is getting huge, though. His arms, he's starting to get massive. But I guess when you're dating the prom queen of Liberty, Whitney Davis, you got to look good.
Have you met Whitney in person?
I have a couple times, yeah.
Yeah?
What is it like? What's she like?
She seems nice enough. We honestly haven't spent that much time.
No?
I was working and going to school, and Creighton was going to school the whole time. Yeah, I think she was probably just too cool to hang out.
Yeah, that's what it is. Those famous libertarians.
When you're that famous.
Yeah. Julie Borowski, she comes on the podcast and she just starts ordering me around. I'm like, listen.
Yeah.
I have 5,000 Facebook friends. I have hundreds of memes made of me. How many memes do you have?
Yeah. The only memes made of you, Julie, were made by the man who makes my memes.
Exactly. And she doesn't ever give credit. She just like makes them, like, they, like I will make fun of her. She'll make it as, and then she like ignores me. And I'm like,
that's weak, man.
I was like, whatever. You're not even a libertarian.
I'll tell you, the memes, like the Dear Leader stuff, has taken on a life of its own.
It's a thing of beauty.
It is. It's hilarious. Like, the memes single-handedly have turned me into, like, some sort of weird celebrity with my friends. Like, I went out to dinner with my friend Melissa Hubbard, and she's like, "You're so famous. You have so many memes made about you."
That is a brilliant imitation of her.
It is, yeah. Thank you. It's like, seriously, so famous. So, check out Melissa Hubbard's book, Spanking City Hall, at Amazon. So, I'm mentioning it one time. Why else do you need to buy it? What other reason do you need? But really interesting story. We should have Melissa on here.
I've been wanting to for years.
Yeah. She'd love that. You'd love that, listener. You would. Melissa is a former dominatrix. And Melissa ran a dominatrix business and talks about her business and a little bit of behind-the-scenes stuff. And, like, I went through her history thoroughly at dinner.
Generously.
I was thoroughly. Generous and thorough in my investigation of her BDSM
career.
We
expect nothing less.
When it comes to BDSM, I am generous and thorough, Chris. And when... So she ended up getting shut down by City Hall. And fought the mayor and, like, the press conference where they were making an example of her. She showed up and, like, started trolling him. and then she went on to have the first tea party, like, by name, where they dumped property tax bills in 2007 into the canal in Indianapolis. And just ignited this property tax. It's a crazy good story. And she is a crazy good, entertaining person to hang out with. So we'll have her on. We have a whole bunch of people that we need on. We've had James on again. Need to go talk to Phyllis Klosinski.
Yeah, we got to have Phyllis on. I know we have to have Brett Brittner on here soon. Brett's got something to talk about. I don't know.
Do we?
Yeah. We could always pretend that we were recording and just not turn it on.
Listen, I've done that before. I'm aware.
I never thought that we could use that.
That's what's happening to my mic right now.
Yeah. Oh, gee, I didn't record this part where I Jersey turnpiked on Daniel Peffers.
Dropped it like it's hot.
I did.
You got to jiggle to the left. That's what the ladies like.
Do you jiggle to the left like your brother does? Are you familiar with this?
You got those dank moves?
Is this that he was playing some video game on the Wii U about dancing? Is that what this is about?
No, but that is so much better.
Oh, Daniel, this is what brothers are for. If my brother ever came on the show, I'd die.
I'd love to have your brother on the show.
Oh, my God. He's such a dick.
He should just get his own podcast.
Yeah. What do you think I am, in the business of handing out podcasts? No.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Only to attractive women.
That's right. So... We've talked about this before, but it was the best 20 minutes of Weird Libertarians of all time. It was some point last fall, Daniel was here, and we started talking about how to pick up chicks. I was newly singled? I was pretty singled. I wasn't single. I was said, you're single now. And I said, okay, hallelujah. So... Daniel was here, and he's like, Spangle, you got to get out there, and you got to do it. You got to get it going, and you just got what you need to do is you need to go to a dance floor. You need to go to where there's girls dancing, and you just kind of stand there, and you just jiggle to the left. And then
my favorite part
is
he told you to go to that lava that's in Broaderpool right across from Bleecker Street. Yeah. And,
the hookah bar?
The Casbah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, but it's. I mean, it kind of gets going, I guess, but it's all like Persians with gold necklaces on. And they're like sweaty. You know, and they go
like
from
the
there.
South Park episode.
Exactly. Like, so they're like sweaty Persians in blazers and jeans and like always V-neck tees that are way, like, they're literally trying to show man cleavage. And then they leave
the hamburger
lava.
Meat out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally. And then they all go down in like a herd to Rock Lobster. Not kidding.
Just this herd of Iranians.
It is. It looks like Arabian Nights.
And they float on their magic carpet.
Yes.
Sorry, that was racist.
Yeah.
We're fighting them in a war. It's okay.
It's okay. We're freeing them. We're freeing them.
Oh, sorry.
Liberating.
Yeah. And so they go down there, and then they go up to the women that dance in the cages inside Rock Lobster. Oh, and they're like, hey, Poppy. It's hilarious to watch. I love it. Anyway.
I'm just...
Rock Lobster has cage dances?
Yeah, there's those two cages that are like... They're really like wrought iron. They're
this
not
is,
even like a real
this
cage.
This is what I get for not really drinking.
No, you can go and you can get in them too.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I'll throw some ones at you.
Yeah, hey, you were talking about me doing Uber for money.
Yeah.
Rock Lobster.
That's what I'm going to do.
There you go.
For
I'm
once.
Not, I'm not going to Uber. I'm going to sell my ass.
Yeah.
So... there are tens and tens of women who might want to watch me dance in a cage. So
I don't know about women, but I'll pay $100.
wall fundraiser. All right, so should we, we've met our 20-minute requirement of bullcrap.
Mm-hmm.
Should we get on to some topics?
I feel like we should. Did anyone...
I didn't realize there was news.
You ask this
is
every...
Is there stuff going on in the world?
You ask this every time, Greg.
I know you don't prepare.
Always no.
Yeah, you never prepare.
But ask it anyways. It's become a tradition.
Did Nick or Chris read the show notes?
I did, actually.
I did not.
I have never... I didn't realize we had show notes. Every time I've been on this, people have been like, oh, this is what we're talking about.
Chris, we are trying to raise the standards of We Are Libertarians. So you have to read the show notes before you come on.
My knowledge is very reactionary.
I don't have to. But I have all the microphones, so that's why I don't have to. No, we have like the little chat, and Greg sent out prepared notes. And
oh, it's yeah. chat.
But, you know, we're not...
Didn't you guys take me out of chat?
We did. We removed you and your brother from chat and started a new one. It's not that we don't love you two. It's just that you two weren't contributing. And it's not like it was a liability issue, because you two would never remember what was said in there in the first place.
No, Chris would contribute, but it'd be like at 4:30 a.m. on a Wednesday, it'd be one meme, yeah. and then... and then he'd be gone.
Right. Every month we'd get a meme and a ha-ha. Yeah, yeah.
They were good ones, though.
No.
No?
If you had read those after you posted it, like after the next 12 hours when you woke up, you'd be like, I'm so disappointed in myself.
When you were
I don't think I would. I've never been disappointed in myself.
Really?
That could be part of the problem. Every day I wake up and I look in the mirror and I say... I am so disappointed in that. And that's how I have achieved
yeah.
the great successes that I
yeah.
have, like hosting a libertarian podcast.
Yeah, and you got to get up and work every day.
Idiot. With your money and your own place.
Yeah. Free yourself, slave.
Oh, God. See, we don't... But Chris, like, when we invite you on, we don't expect you, like... Like, you add humor to it. Not because we laugh at you. We laugh with you.
No. The only difference between being laughed at and laughed with is if you're laughing, Chris.
That's
remember that.
Why did I just have a fucking gulp? I just had a gulp flashback. It sounded like something Gulp would say. It's like Reddit for your ears.
Oh, man. Fluoride warning.
Oh. Here come the Twin Towers.
Yeah. Did you know jet fuel can't melt steel beams?
Jet fuel can't melt steel beams.
That is a Rosie O'Donnell
he
fact.
He liked your chemtrails comment.
Yeah, you posted at the Indy 500. Yeah. They had these skywriters, and it was like little puffs of smoke that spelled out words. And I forget what I said, but it was like chemtrails have become self-actualized, and or chemtrails are starting to talk, or something along yeah. those lines. And Galt liked it. I mean, Galt was the first person who ever told me about chemtrails, and he wasn't saying it as a joke. Like, he was dead serious.
I still don't know what they are.
I don't either. I think it's like chemicals from
that's,
the...
When you
idea?
Look up in the sky and you see a plane with the right. white smoke behind it, that's supposed to be bad stuff that they're dropping
right,
on
like
us.
Poison or something?
It's mind control.
Yeah.
They're see, crop-dusting which, citizens.
Yeah, exactly. Which they've already got the fluoride to control our minds, so I don't know why they need chemtrails. Yeah.
I'm just saying, the fact that none of us know what chemtrails are... means that chemtrails are happening.
I think non-GMO food products are mind control, personally. Specifically, Larabars.
Do not talk shit about
I have
Larabars.
To agree.
I know.
Oh, man. If you mention smoothies and Larabars and you talk shit about them, you will be a dead man. I'm
please,
sorry.
Chris. Vegan, non-GMO, farm-raised vegetable shakes. That's the appropriate terminology. Right. Anything else... You know, exposes your cis privilege.
No, right. Wasn't there something wrong with shake too?
Yeah, that's misogynistic.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well,
any adjective is triggering. So try never ever to use verbs, adjectives, nouns. They all just trigger. Listen, we live in a rape
someone's
culture.
Gonna hate you.
So National Review last week wrote an article about they discovered that minorities, if they're in a room with all white people and it's just they're the only minority individual, that is a microaggression. Simply walking into a room of all white people. And that was the most common response on the poll. Like they did a blind poll or survey of 2,000 students at various Big Ten universities. And that was the finding is that they feel most aggressed against just walking into a room of white people.
To me, that's...
So would it be better if we just covered our face with makeup?
There was a time for that in American history. As long as you were singing,
only
it was just
fine. If you're playing Othello.
Mammy! I want to go down the river. that's our Al Jolson hunk.
You better get Harry over here quick. We're going to need some coverage.
Harry.
We need insurance.
Yep.
quick.
Racism insurance. Come here right now. No, for those of you who are young and may not know it, look up Al Jolson. You won't believe it when you see it. In the early days of film, like if you watch The Birth of a Nation, it is like the most racist shit ever. It was a promotional film by W.E. Du Bois for... Not W.E. Du Bois. Who was the guy that made it?
Who?
W.E. Du Bois was the...
The Birth of a Nation?
Yeah.
It was... No, that's the, I was going to say D.C. Stevenson, but he was the...
he was the Klan leader here in Indiana.
Yeah, here in Indiana.
Right. You're just...
It is, though. It's two letters. But I can't think of it off the top of my head.
I don't...
I haven't watched it, but one time.
It was the... I couldn't believe I was... What it was like the first film shown in the White House by Woodrow Wilson, who resegregated the military, was born in Atlanta during the Civil War. Huge racist.
But and progressive.
Very progressive. Very progressive. Reintroduced eugenics to the United States. Really just a bad... horrible human being. And Birth of the Nation was really like it's awful. And then everything softened up, and then you just got all the famous white people in the it wasn't the talkies yet. Although I think one of the first talkies, I think it was a guy in blackface.
Yeah, it probably was.
So you can imagine that movies in the 1930s were very, very progressive and very inclusive.
They were
But Google Al Jolson and you'll get the mammy reference.
That's your history lesson for the day. Your history lesson in white guilt.
I'm just saying, Nick's drinking beer that says Trigger. So
it is.
What a jerk.
Hair Trigger.
Oh, that's pretty like ironic and esoteric beer too.
Well, it's ultimately ironic. He was drinking that before anybody ever heard of it. He started drinking that before they had even thought of it.
I think it's called mead, even. It's not even beer.
You can't start making the hipster jokes before I even get back in the room.
You go to pee and you're left defenseless. That's when we're going to kick you, okay? We only kick people while they're down here because we are weak and defenseless ourselves. That's why we're libertarians.
Everyone heard him say, gosh damn it, too, right?
Really? Oh, do you think Jesus listens to this podcast? You got another thing coming, boy.
I'm probably already going to hell, aren't I?
He's white. I could call him boy. Stop looking at me like that.
I'm on high alert since you asked Harry to get the door. Ever since that moment, you know.
Listen, Harry was directly across from me. Somebody was at the door. I think it was pizza or something.
Gina, but that
Gina
works.
Was here.
There
and
you
I
go. You ignored the woman, too.
I just was presumed since she was a woman, she was bringing me food. And I looked at Harry without speaking, and I just motioned, can you please go get the door?
And then there was a,
you're like, boy.
I did not snap. Harry is a dear, dear friend. I have a black friend. I can't be racist. Every week I'm accused of racism here. But yet,
and will continue to be when you ask people to Google Al Jolson.
Listen, awareness brings people together.
Yeah,
okay?
And you almost sang an entire minstrel song.
Yeah.
Things aren't trending well, Chris. They're really not.
I didn't sing Swing Low.
This podcast is going to take a swift downturn.
Yeah, we better get on Rand Paul.
Yeah, we're 30 minutes in.
We better get off of Rand Paul really quick so we don't ruin his campaign after all this.
So, Greg, as always, we go to you because you're the one who read the news. As this podcast exists to break down the news, and we have one person who's read it.
It's been a big week for Rand Paul.
Yeah.
He has been trolling just about everyone. Like, his book came out.
Right.
And then this is where, if you saw it, I know it really rustled a lot of libertarians, that he said that James Clapper, the former security director who lied before Congress or the Senate, and Edward Snowden belonged in the same cell to discuss liberty and security. And so a lot of people thought he would be more of a champion of Edward Snowden, since he's kind of ridden his coattails since Snowden did the expose and then he did the filibuster. Then Chris Christie got all pissed off at Rand Paul.
Shocking.
It's same thing. You know, all the Republicans are trying to position themselves as, you know, what role they're going to fill in the campaign. And Christie's been dying. He has no momentum whatsoever. He waited too long to come out. He had the bridge gate last year. But he went out and basically had this the most harsh rhetoric against Rand Paul, and they have a long and storied hatred of each other.
Mm-hmm.
But basically said that he's on the same team as Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. And Rand
Sounds
Paul,
about
Rand
right.
Paul responds, responded brilliantly, goes on, I think Bob, was it Bob? No, George Stephanopoulos, and says, that wasn't very nice.
Yeah.
And it was great. And then some, he's had some issues with Mitch McConnell lately, who, you know, they're going to, but Mitch McConnell's already endorsed him for president, so there's not a lot else he can do. What was the other major news story for Rand Paul was... Oh, I'll look it up real quick. Did you see or follow any of this, Chris, at all? Or just the Peppers or Spangle?
Can I say something? Like, as far as, like, the Edward Snowden thing, he has held that stance since he has been saying anything about it. So I don't know why anyone was surprised.
So what was
the New York Times covered it.
What was his official stance on Snowden again?
He thinks that Snowden should go to prison because he technically broke the law. And
he should at least be brought before a court and
before
have a trial.
Yeah. Not necessarily that he should go to prison.
Because I remember when all the Snowden stuff
he'll
broke.
He'll be on trial for treason, though, right? It's not like a slap on the wrist offense.
Yeah, but this is what Rand Paul does. It's always his slippery, you know, down the middle, never taking a stance but taking a firm stance, typical politician bullshit that Rand
following
Paul
the
does.
Law to a T.
Right.
Yeah.
So, shut up, Greg.
I'm just saying, it's hard to, you know, it's
is.
Like,
it is the
you
law.
And your laws.
Yeah.
You and your laws.
Yeah.
Pass a law, bro.
If we can't break laws, how do we know which ones are good?
What?
That's profound.
Bro. My mind's so blown right now.
You're like the libertarian Buddha.
I think I need to smoke more weed to get that one.
You just sit here and you just expound wisdom like,
bro. I feel like I just should sit Lotus and listen to you go on for hours.
We seriously need just a podcast of you and niece talking to each other.
Yeah.
Nobody would know what the hell was being said, but it would sound really good and important.
I feel like that should be its entire own spinoff, you know? Like,
very much so.
We need could some replace wall spinoffs going
like
on.
Like Joey
here.
From Friends?
Yeah.
He could replace Galt in Nearly Total Nonsense, bring back Nearly Total Nonsense.
He'd be just as reliable, too.
Yeah.
Oh, God love Chris Galt. Somebody has to.
He does. There is a girl hanging out in pictures with him on Facebook.
Really?
So, yeah. You can look it up on Facebook.
You ever been on Fiverr?
Fiber?
You can Fiverr?
Fiverr.
$5 and you can have you can have a week long Facebook girlfriend that'll do she'll Photoshop
what?
The picture with you.
Yeah, that's
what?
Not kidding.
They'll do you just post a job
they'll
you're
comment
getting new
on
for
your
$5,
page,
right?
Like they'll do the entire they'll make their location your location and they'll do the full like online
I
girlfriend
think,
experience.
Yeah. I checked out Fiverr like 3 years ago, and I think there was a lot of that going on.
Oh, it's hugely popular. Like I've wanted to do it for friends, like whose girlfriends I'm not crazy about.
Do they rhyme with Amir?
No. It's for like buddies that don't check Facebook very often, but their Facebook very often, but their girlfriends are on it constantly, and they're kind of awful. And then all of a sudden this girl just starts having pictures with her boyfriend, with that girl's boyfriend. And like, then the relationship status changes. Oh, it'd be wonderful.
Do you think that's what Daniel's doing?
No, I actually met her.
Oh, okay. All
in
right.
person. I met her once.
Right. Did she do the whole time? Was she just staring you directly in the eye going,
no,
me.
But I didn't. Look at her too much.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't want to make eye contact, would you, Chris? Wouldn't want to look.
I mean,
wouldn't want to look a woman right in the eye.
I just got into Colorado, and
your eyes were red, and you didn't think that she'd notice if you
I
looked her in
hungry,
the eye.
And I was just a puddle on a couch.
She was just trying to find the time.
If I don't look them directly in the eye, they can't see that my eyes are red.
Rick and Morty was on.
Rick and Morty. Is that like Cheech and Chong?
No, it's a cartoon on Adult Swim, and it is hilarious.
I don't watch cartoons.
That's because
you watch South Park.
You're like dead or something.
Am I dead or something? I don't play video games either. I just read. I don't watch TV. I'm sorry. I'm joking.
Can I have
that's
that like TV
a,
that's over
true.
There?
He listens to the Avett Brothers while he eats Lara bars.
I just listen to NPR all day.
One time, this was real early on, and I had just joined Wall, and we were in chat, and I asked you, it was like a Friday, I was like, what are you doing tonight? And you're like, right now I'm sitting in Starbucks listening to, what's the NPR podcast?
This cereal?
Cereal?
No, This American Life.
This American Life. Oh, okay. As soon as this ends, I'm Those going to go get I another name. Pumpkin spice latte and turn on the Avett Brothers while I do some online reading. And I was like, okay.
It was.
And you were in like Fountain Square.
It was a salted caramel hot chocolate.
Oh, okay.
Let's get it right, okay? It was a salted hot chocolate.
That is better than a pumpkin spice.
I don't drink coffee or anything. So like anything that I don't know what a latte is, so I don't want to drink it. But I know what hot chocolate is, and I know what salt is, and I know what caramel is. So
okay.
I'm sorry, am I coming across like I'm mean or something? No. Like you're like, okay, just give him what he wants. Make him stop talking. Maybe he'll quit yelling at me.
No, I just...
Don't make me talk about your Aunt Donna. Can you imagine like
she's so mean.
If you have an Aunt Donna and you listen to last week's episode,
oh, man.
And like all you can think about is your poor sweet Aunt Donna. Or
so
maybe
triggered.
Maybe your Aunt Donna's a whore. And you're like, maybe she actually did that. So how else is she going to steal the collection plate? Associate pastor's back there counting the take for the week.
It's an inside job.
Listen, I need to talk to you for a second. I have a problem.
Why is the associate pastor Lindsey Graham?
that was Aunt What's Donna, whose real name is Mercedes, and she works at Dancers, where she caught a bad meth habit.
She caught a meth habit.
Was that the other big piece of news you were looking for? No, the Lindsey Graham eye roll.
Yeah, I know. The other big piece of news was, well, he was on Jon Stewart. And Jon Stewart asked him if he shouldn't sell to gay people, or like, you know, the RFRA issue. Yeah. He did a nice job and was actually able to do the best spin job ever and turn it into a privacy issue.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible to watch.
What did it, so let's break that down first. What exactly was asked and what was said?
Sure, I'll read it for you. He appeared on Jon Stewart. That was 2 nights ago, correct?
It wasn't, yeah.
Yeah, so Jon Stewart says, "It seems like gay marriage looms a lot larger in the minds of certain conservatives than it does in the Bible. And the only thing I would say is, don't they sell cakes to sinners all the time and adulterers?" And then Rand Paul responded that there is the right to be despicable. That's what the First Amendment guarantees. And while he didn't agree with the Ground Zero Mosque, he supports its right to be built. But then Jon Stewart tried to swing the conversation. You know, you can't equate a mosque with the KKK or gay marriage with the KKK. And then Rand Paul... there's no more transcript of that. Or no, Rand Paul says, "What I'm saying is, I think you can personally object to things that the law will allow, and it doesn't mean that we all have to say what we all, or to say that we will all accept everyone else's beliefs on everything else. But you have to live with them and tolerate them."
Right. And there's
which is very libertarian.
No, and exactly. And there's this weird, and it should be conservative, and it should be liberal. It should be the American way.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about what Mitch Daniels has done this week at Purdue.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
I know. Mitch Daniels says, you know, you have no such right to offend, and living in a free speech society means that you are going to be offended, and you should just grow up and deal with it.
Yeah.
Which is so great, because millennials, or not even millennials, the people that are in college right now, which I guess are still millennials. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, for the most part.
Okay.
They're leaving, yeah.
Yeah, they're just leaving college. And it's not so much because we are the kind of the first ones, Spangle and I, our age group, and maybe a couple years older, all the way down to the 22-year-olds right now. So many at the 22, 23, 24 especially, they just feel like the right to be offended is granted in the Bill of Rights.
You are to leave your house every day with the guarantee that you will return home safe and unharmed, and you are... able to exist in a state of being unoffended. Mm-hmm. So nothing can be offensive, which means that everything is offensive.
Exactly.
Like there's, what do you,
because it's all symbolism.
Right.
You know? I think it's funny because I feel like this was kind of partially started by like the Christian right, you know, back in the day, fighting gay marriage. You know, what if my kid sees a gay married couple and then they think
they
want to be gay?
Totally.
Yeah. Will they be infected by it? And now you have the religious right is like, you know, hey, they shouldn't be offended by my religious beliefs.
What about
you
the
know?
First Amendment?
Exactly.
I mean,
totally flipped the script.
Yeah, Tipper and Al Gore in the 90s. Tipper Gore's big project was getting the, if you've ever seen the parental guidance labels on CDs, she's the reason that those are on there. Got a bunch of, like, Sandy Patty and a bunch of other artists to put those on there. So you know that when your kids bring home Dookie by Green Day, that there's going to be offensive words. I had to take that stuff back to Walmart.
There might be.
I was not allowed to buy Smells Like Teen Spirit because that was on there. Had no one cared that it was a child's
That's
penis
weak.
Swimming. There was a parental guidance advisory on the cover.
It started then, and then back in the 90s, and then culminating with the Janet Jackson boob. I mean, I work in an industry that the FCC, the whole point of the FCC was to regulate bandwidth and basically make sure that if 94.7, the station that we're on in Indianapolis, that another station doesn't screw with their signal and that there's an equal access to, now equal access to the airwaves ended up being pay the federal government a ton of money for the limited amount of positions on the dial. Yep. And then
that's called extortion by most industries.
And then because of the seven deadly words with Carlin, if you go back and read about that affair with the seven words you can't say on radio.
When was that?
That was in the
70s?
Early 70s.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Around, people started playing Lenny Bruce records on the radio. And then started playing Carlin records on the radio, and it just it got out of control. This is not up to community standards. This is public indecency. We've got to do something about this. So then the FCC started regulating language, what you can and can't say on the radio, culminating with the seven deadly words with there was a bit on Class Clown by George Carlin outlining seven words you can't say on the radio, like shit, fuck, piss, cunt.
Cocksucker.
Cocksucker was one of them.
I think he had fuck and motherfucker, didn't he?
Yeah, something like that. But you can look it up if you want.
it's not really a complete list.
Blink-182 made a song of it.
Then they took upon themselves to start regulating language. And I work for a radio show that had tens of thousands of dollars in fines and I've read the transcripts from the 80s. The most innocuous, harmless stuff. I mean, asshole. It was a fine.
Can't put the two together. You can say them separately.
Yeah.
You could say ass separately?
Yeah.
Really?
Asshole. Yeah, that's...
Can you say it now?
No, on TV they censor... sometimes they'll leave the ass and they'll bleep out the whole part.
Yeah.
You can't say butthole. So the rule of thumb is...
Oh my God.
I worked in radio at a time when Janet Jackson had just happened. And everything got really weird, and you couldn't talk about anything regarding sex. Mm-hmm. You couldn't talk about anything regarding sex, bodily emissions, bodily fluids, sexual acts, parts of the body, any kind of excretion, meaning poop.
Sweat.
No, that was okay. I'm just talking mainly number one, number two, and number three.
Yeah.
Think about number three.
Vomit.
Women don't have number three. Yeah. So it just was this weird time, and Bubba the Love Sponge got $1 million fine.
Oh, yeah. That ruined his career forever. Yeah,
there was a person named Bubba the Love Sponge.
Yeah, he's still on in Tampa. Something.
Did you ever see Hulk Hogan's sex tape?
Yes, I did.
I remember Hulk Hogan had a sex tape.
It was Bubba the Love Sponge wife that was in the sex tape.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, it was. Sorry, I got distracted there for a minute.
Why are you Googling so quickly over there?
What's happening?
Don't mind me.
To-do list. Hulk Hogan.
There's an app for that.
Hilarious.
But anyway, it's with Rand Paul. I know you're not the big fan. Clearly.
Listen, I'm a fan, and I might vote for him. I might not. I don't know.
You're not going to.
I'll vote in the primary for him. I think he deserves a shot.
Yeah, you'll vote, in the Republican primary for Rand Paul. Yeah. And then do you know Rand Paul? Ron's son?
Yeah.
are you familiar with the president? An election.
Wait, there's a second Paul? When did he come around? Was this last week when he showed up?
Yeah.
No, he just... I've been following him a little. I heard about the filibuster and... a little bit of what you were saying.
Okay, yeah. He's just had it's so funny. You can tell he makes everyone mad in the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And he makes every libertarian mad.
Yeah.
No libertarian likes him because he's not libertarian enough.
I mean, who else we got, really?
Well, I mean, it depends who the Libertarian Party picks.
I guess,
If Gary Johnson's the guy.
It'll be Gary.
Yeah, but he was a Republican. The guy was an elected Republican governor. But,
if you ask Creighton... Rand Paul is more libertarian than Gary Johnson.
Bullshit.
And I think he's got a really good argument for it, honestly, as far as foreign policy and everything goes.
Gary's
got some issues on foreign policy.
He does.
He's got some democracy building in him.
He has he the extent of what he said is basically stopping genocide type stuff. So, which I'm not going to say that a libertarian that says we need to use the military to stop genocide is any less or more libertarian than a guy who really kind of doesn't want to stop foreign aid and really kind of doesn't want to stop our military programs, but, you know, who makes the... I don't know what Rand Paul believes in foreign policy, because he's so...
Protecting key strategic interests, so, like, yeah, you know, being able to maintain... That's
those are big words.
They are, but, like,
a lot
so...
Of broad words.
Broad words.
So,
a lot of
the Suez Canal would be a strategic interest for Americans. Right. So, that it would be of absolute importance to keep
so
that open.
So, the guy who wants to save innocent lives... is less libertarian than the guy who wants to protect oil.
No, but he wants to go in without...
Hey, to simplify.
No, this country needs a lot of oil. Against the United States.
Exactly.
So if right now, because of who has control of the Suez Canal, if you were to attack it, that would be an aggression against the United States. If you go and slaughter 2 million people in the Sudan, if you're going to follow voluntarism to its logical conclusion, you have no role and you have no reason to be involved in that. The point is, though, that gets missed is that what right does the United States have to be in control of the Suez Canal, given we don't have any citizens that aren't artificially placed there?
True.
And we, most military bases, we consider U.S. soil that just exists in the middle of a country.
More nationalism.
You know, so it really, you know, it's a property rights issue, but if governments get to declare property rights, base we've built has been, it's not like we've... gone into Germany and we're taking this land. Like, we've been invited everywhere we have a base.
And no doubt.
I mean, Indiana. Indian. That's what we do.
We're going to build you a very nice place and give you a monthly subsidy.
Hey, we're going to give you these towels. They're going to make you really sick. But in 200 years, you're going to get a casino, and it'll be
honestly,
all...
though, our military has benefited most of the countries that it has gone to. In all honesty,
except
it's benefited everyone but us. Well, yeah, the Ukrainians are kind of left out to dry. Because
and that
kind
of digs into the Middle East, because then you have Syria, because we do that.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem, is that it's just the one ripples all the way through the interest of foreign relations.
And that really is the problem with our foreign policy, is everything becomes so entangled. And once you start getting involved over there, everything is connected. So one country comes under fire, and then you have to defend your alliances on every side. You have to say, well, no, we can't, you know, we can't intervene in Ukraine yet, but we're still on your side, you know, we're still with you guys. And that's where it becomes really tricky. But
and when you were in the Air Force, where were you stationed?
I was stationed in New Mexico the whole time. I didn't go anywhere, really.
Okay.
I was just out in New Mexico.
It's still kind of a wasteland.
Yeah, it was kind of like a third world country.
That's not
kind of a third world country.
It's not...
Gary Johnson was the governor of New Mexico.
Where I was, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, from his throne in the arena.
Where I was in New Mexico. Yeah.
He claimed the skulls.
Didn't engage
of his...
the little
girl. You know, I've actually had someone ask me, when I said I was stationed in New Mexico, someone from Indiana was like, oh, so that's like a different country, right? And I was like,
was that millennial. Chris Peffers?
Oh, millennial
for
sure.
Yeah,
definitely.
Total millennial move.
Definitely.
What do you mean, Nebraska? Where is that at?
Chris Peffers.
All my New Mexico friends will definitely jump on board here, though, when I say that they understand what I'm talking about when I say the third world country thing. But I was just kind of in the middle of nowhere. That's why I said, you know.
So you never were deployed overseas?
No, never deployed. None of that.
Did you have any buddies that were?
I had a lot of friends that had been deployed previously.
Because I'm kind of always curious, like, you know, if you're stationed in Germany, you're stationed in Japan, wherever it is that you actually are put, you know, what is the reception as a American military member when you're not on base, when you're out engaging?
It's $5, sucky, you come now.
It's really kind of mixed.
And that was just in Arizona.
It's really...
Aunt Donna's from Arizona.
Wait, what?
And Aunt Donna's Asian. But you're going to be...
You guys should Google Song Tan Sally.
You're going to be so hungry an hour later. That was like a delay. I just rolled that one right in and ran away, and then all of a sudden everybody got it.
Oh. But no, from what I understand, the reception was mostly mixed, depending on what personality you had and what country you were in. I've heard a lot of people say they weren't welcomed well by the Germans, but I also know one guy, at least, that has still multiple German friends that he keeps in contact with, and, you know, they basically treat him like, you know, one of the people.
Like one of the better people, right?
One of the Germans.
That's right. One of them.
Yes.
Master.
Oh, yeah, I heard they were bred better than
blue
us.
Eyes.
Someone told me that.
Yeah. He had blue eyes, was 6'4", and the straightest blonde hair you've ever seen.
All of those things, almost. Yeah. Except for the blonde hair.
Well, I mean, like, if you think about it, if we, you know, the big scary threat is the Chinese, you know, taking over everything. And if we had in the United States a Chinese military base that was, say, in Bloomington or, say, in Columbus or, say, in Lafayette.
There's no way.
It would be. Think about how angry that would make Americans.
We'd be so
pissed.
Oh, my God.
Pissed.
Martinsville would be just a
recruiting
station.
Let's be honest.
But
they're always,
time,
like, right on the precipice of revolt.
At the same
all
time, China would not allow
the whole country.
China would not allow us to have a military base
true.
Either, you know? So, like, if you want to be more fair,
allies.
You go with someone like Germany. You know,
Japan.
You say, what if we let Germany or Japan have a military base
Yeah,
here?
If Germany had, like, a military base,
but
people
can't
might.
But it be someone we've beaten. So, like, Germany's not a great, you know, like that's,
yeah,
it's
Vietnam.
That's a constant
Germany has
reminder
lots of people
that we
here.
Kicked your ass.
Germany
in World
flies
War II.
Aircraft here, and
yeah.
they have like all kinds of people here. But,
yeah,
but we also beat them.
Our bases and stuff. Right?
Yeah.
But we also beat them, so that's like a constant. Like, hey, act up again, and
again. Exactly.
You know what I mean. So it has to be someone that's defeated you. It'd be like if the Vietnamese,
yeah, the
who
Vietnamese.
Didn't really defeat us,
yeah.
but like you know,
no.
led us to death.
Malaria
yeah,
and
yeah.
other
yeah.
stuff.
You know, anyone that has dominated you, just hey, here's a big eyesore.
We're
right
just gonna
in the middle
put
of
this
so
base
like
right
if
here.
The Spanish flu built a base in our country.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I just it's always been, you know, it's we're in a globalized world, so people forget about the old ties that exist or the history that have brought our fates together, but I can't imagine for a moment any other country, even Canada, like having a base in the United States, cuz
Canada could
we're
have one across
proud.
The border.
Way too proud for that.
And yet we think it's just fine. If we're
well,
set
I don't even.
Shop.
What are we really doing? Like, we
people
have bases
don't even
in Germany,
think about
right?
That, though. You know, they just think America, we have the best military, so obviously we would put a military base
well,
in someone else's country.
Well, there's an arrogance that we are Americans, so we are more moral, we are more ethical, we are more kind, more giving, more generous, more thorough than any other nation on the planet. And
it's true, but we shouldn't say it.
It used to be true. Like that was after World War II is where that thought was, you know, sort of originated, the last moral war.
Right.
Yeah.
And we clearly, since the 60s and 70s, Vietnam and Korea, we have given up that
the moral high ground.
Yeah, we've given up the moral high ground. We've made so many alliances out of, you know, just. We didn't sponsor that form of political theory like domino theory and communism, and we didn't like it. And I can't imagine in today's world that our military even has any remnants of that standing overseas.
The war on terror has greatly blurred the lines because we're now. It's one thing to say that we're going to mobilize against a nation. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to mobilize against Russia or against China or Japan. It's and there are very clear borders. There's clear lines that you can invade and that you can cross.
There are people you can call and yell at in their
right.
country. Yeah.
You know, you can go to the UN and have a reasonable discussion and try and have diplomacy. Like, you can't have diplomacy with ISIS.
Yeah.
There's no diplomacy to be
and
had.
And fundamentally, you can't, because then you'd be recognizing them.
Right.
As an actual nation state.
You know, you can have diplomacy with Iran.
Yeah.
You can invade Iran.
But, like, we recognize North Korea. But where are they at
we
on that
of
level?
Recognize them.
We have
on that level of crazy.
Well, we have back channel
only
talks.
Top.
Yeah, yeah.
We send Dennis Rodman in, and
and I am very I'm sure
James Franco
that someone at some level in our government is having some discussion with allies of ISIS or ISIS themselves.
And if you read that report that came out last week, we strategically supported them because they were a natural pressure against Assad, who we want to see overthrown.
Right. Then that's the great photo of John McCain posing with ISIS.
Yeah.
You know, Rand Paul was totally right.
That's why I can't stand. Rand Paul comes out and says, you know, I think it's the GOP hawks that caused this whole ISIS thing, and I think they're the ones that, you know, fan the flames here. And like the Republican base immediately is
Rick
I was
Santorum
listening to,
all of a sudden announces for president.
To, I'm ready.
I am ready for duty.
I was listening
this
to Greg
year,
Garrison
Santorum.
This morning. He's a local Indiana talk radio host. And he was like, oh, Rand Paul has shot himself in the foot here. Like, there is no chance. Rand Paul doesn't stand a chance. Like, how out of touch with reality do you have to be to look at all the facts here? To just take a step back and look at all the facts and look at who you are supplying to weapons and, like, be like, oh, you know, Rand Paul's out of touch.
I mean, I tell you, like, there are sometimes I like the foundings of the GOP, but to see what it is today is such a mockery of what it used to be and was founded upon.
It's sad.
Because it's one thing to deny that man is causing global warming because there isn't an absolute consensus. And, you know, even if it's a minority of scientists.
I mean, weather's tricky anyway.
Weather is changed.
It's very chaotic.
You can go back to listen. You can go back and listen to episodes of We Are Libertarians with Greg and Chris, who have no business commentating on politics. And we give you the history of ISIS. You can hear through the history of this podcast over the last 3 years, the history and formation of ISIS and how out of touch John McCain is. You can hear the whole thing. Like, Greg was the first one to ever talk about it. You know, I mean, he and Glenn Beck, so look at you, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm a great...
Insert Ron Paul, it's happening meme here.
The evidence is so clear that two 30-year-olds in Indiana sitting there reading the internet and reading stories and looking at photos and videos can put this together, and you can go back and listen.
You just have to trace where they got their... where does the money come from?
As soon as you figure out, you know it's going to backfire.
Every time.
Every time. You know it's going to backfire.
And, like, that's why the president announcing that I have a plan for Syria, we're going to back the moderate rebels. What?
Yeah, the moderate rebels in Syria.
Well, you mean the ones that just decided to, since you paid them more, left ISIS? Well, that'll work well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so frustrating.
How long are they going to be moderate? Honestly.
They're not moderate. Exactly. They don't crucify people exactly. and put
they're
it on Twitter.
They're just smiling
at
the moment.
America's definition of moderate is they don't want to kill Americans yet. Like, that is the definition
of
moderate.
No, it's not our time.
Yeah. But then again, like, we're talking in generalities. We're not talking about specifics and individuals. Like, that's the problem with war in the 21st century, is that how do we identify the enemy? Is it are we going to just start killing people based on tweets? I mean, if that's the case, I've got a whole list of people that I'd like to start with.
You know, I honestly don't think it'll get to that point because I don't think we have the resources for it. You know, I think right now...
Oh, really? Have you been to Salt Lake City?
No, I mean, if you're talking to individual assassins and, like, bullets and types of things like that here in the United States, then yeah. But I think as far as our foreign policy goes, as far as how we enact that war, I mean, I think they continue targeting the high level guys like they have been, and
That's the thing, is that doesn't do really any good except embolden and create resistance and build your next bank.
It's almost it's almost like war
know.
Almost never does any good.
You know,
God damn, Chris Peppers.
My God, you're what? Buddha.
Oh my God, come here and let me rub your belly, big guy.
No. I think you're right, but at the same point, I do think there is a crippling factor. You know, like as far as like if we were to take out al-Baghdadi right now.
We already did. We drone striked him. He's maimed and can't be caliph anymore.
Well, but he's not done for yet.
He lost a leg or something.
By Sharia law, since he's unable to perform his duties and be amongst the people, he can't be the caliph anymore.
Oh, really?
No, yeah, hold on. Bin Laden's second in command.
He said he can't be caliph anymore. Didn't say he couldn't kill him anymore.
Okay.
You don't lose your leg and become invincible.
Caliph, caliphate.
He became a non-combatant.
If you do that enough times, it's going to make a difference. I'm not saying it's cost effective. I'm not saying it's a good way to wage a war, but I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, at some point it does wear a toll on the enemy if they cannot keep the same leader for a certain period of time.
So, like in the American Revolution, we took out, we specifically focused on the generals.
Yeah, yeah.
And to an extent, that worked, but I don't know that that necessarily worked as much as it did. We just got them so sick of spending money.
Exactly.
Right? And yeah, so that, but yeah, that's what they're doing to us.
That's yeah, true.
They're
that's
bleeding
true,
us, and that's always been a part
I don't
of
know,
the plan.
Yeah, I feel like a big group of yeah, people
Osama
like that.
Bin Laden said it back,
that
what
was his,
year?
In 1989.
1989.
Yeah,
he goes,
yeah,
if you invite the Americans over here in Saudi Arabia, or in Saudi Arabia, they will never leave. Yeah. And sure enough, we build a base.
Three.
Yeah, well, now we have, yeah, that's right. Oh
I'm
my God, I always
so
forget about that.
I'm so goddamn sick of these Iranians threatening our military bases with the location of their country.
And
that's a great meme.
How dare the Russians intimidate our American bases
but
located
you think,
around their
I
country?
Think that's the most frustrating thing for Rand Paul, because, and that's the hard part of foreign policy and like statesmanship and diplomacy, is there is never a good answer. There, it isn't like World War II. You know, if
with the whole
we are going
ourselves
to go and we're going to fight a fair enemy, we're going to slam right up on your, you know, right up on your shores, and we're going to mm-hmm, see, you know, man to man who wins. That's not who we're fighting.
There's no fair enemy anymore because, I mean, the person we're fighting is an enemy of everybody.
Exactly. And they've been yeah, able to seize control because the way they're seizing control is of no strategic interest to anyone. In Iraq, we have the press secretary, or was it press secretary that came out 2 days ago and said, you know, we want to support the Iraqi army, but they won't fight anybody because ISIS took Ramadi. And it's ISIS lost or took Mosul, which is their main area, with 800 soldiers, and there were 20,000 mm-hmm, Iraqi military members fighting them, and they lost to 800.
To throw
because
a
they
little
just threw
bit of perspective
down
in here, I have heard from other military friends and other people that have been over there with a specific mission to train Iraqi
soldiers,
nationals and everything, that their biggest frustration always was that their fear, basically, is what it came down to. They did not want to stand up and fight for themselves.
If I fight them, I'm going to be beheaded.
And what are they fighting
for? I don't know if it
was... I mean, is there...
I don't know if it was that... Well, it could have been that, honestly. I think, honestly, the... You know, how long Saddam and his family were in power over there, I think after so long of something like that, like, it would be like trying to get the North Koreans to stand up and fight for themselves at this point,
he's
you know,
so
like
worked it out.
How
of them?
Much fight do they have left in them at this point?
That's the question that maybe you can answer. What are they fighting for? I mean, there's the concept of Iraq is
Sykes-Picot Treaty.
Is Sykes-Picot? It's mm-hmm, created by the West 100 years ago. You know, in America during the American Revolution and during the French Revolution, there was a sense of pride. There was a sense of nationalism. There was a sense of these are rights.
It was all still very young. It was
right.
Yeah,
everyone was ready to go.
Right. So what is your average Iraqi fighting for? When everybody's afraid if they're going into battle, I'm sure, unless you're just a total psychopath. But what realistically are they fighting for?
No,
there's just very mixed feelings there, honestly, because you read I read an article not too long ago about the showing of American sniper in Baghdad, like okay, in a public theater in Baghdad, and any article you read about it will say that the majority of the Iraqis there were cheering on, like when it came to the scene, the very controversial scene where he was like, he's going to have to shoot a
don't
a
spoil it too hard.
And the child, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, that was in the trailer.
It came down to, yeah, that trailer, that controversial scene. All the Iraqis were cheering. They were saying, shoot them. You know, shoot them. They're terrorists. Shoot them. And so you have that view of the Iraqi people. But then you have, you know, this other view where people come back and they say they're just defeated. You know, they're just, they don't have any fight left in them. They don't want to fight. They just want to... They want to survive is what it comes down to.
They
they're
want stability.
Just trying to survive. Exactly.
They just
exactly
want to be able to sell their product
they're
or
just
to go
trying
to work
to make
or
it
to
through
go to
life.
The store. Yeah, without the chance of being bombed.
And it's been so long since they've been able to see that.
Maybe not since Sykes-Picot and us divvying up.
Exactly.
Because what really stoked it was we threw together Sunnis and Shias.
Yeah.
That's always been the issue. Saddam was a Shia.
Exactly.
And they were a slight minority in Iraq. And so he slaughtered Sunnis that were rivals to power. Then everything looked like after we deposed Saddam, we'd bet the whole farm on al-Maliki, who was seen as a guy. I mean, the guy's Ivy League or you know, Cambridge educated. He's smart as can be. He's on the Council of Foreign Relations. This is a guy that runs in elite circles. He's the prime minister, democratically elected of Iraq. Looks like he has a small coalition that's going to lead it and cause stability by going out to the tribal leaders in the more rural areas, even though they're Shia and he's a Sunni. Or, I mean, even though he's a Shia and they're Sunnis. And right before he's up for re-election, he sees that Al-Qaeda in Iraq, who became ISIS, is taking over and seizing power in rural areas. So what's he do? He orders the slaughter of Sunnis in every rural area. And this is a guy who is, I mean, he's Mitt Romney ordering that all these individuals be slaughtered because of their religion and their challenge to his power.
Right.
And there's no fixing that.
Just because he's in a room so detached from it. You know?
Exactly. That's what makes it easy.
Yeah.
When you don't have to go out there and you don't have to do the slaughtering, it's way easier if you're military backing.
Yeah.
And that's what triggered the collapse of Northern Iraq. And Al-Qaeda, like Jeb Bush, was that was the other news story, is Jeb Bush just got asked, you know, well, when my brother was in power, ISIS didn't exist.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
There
absurd.
Weren't any terrorists.
No, we had al-Baghdadi, their former caliph, in prison, and he was finally let go because he wasn't a security threat. Good intelligence. And so he's let go. He joins Al-Qaeda in Iraq. AQI rises, morphs into ISIS. ISIS breaks from Al-Qaeda because they're too wild. I mean, it is just Jeb Bush lying through his teeth. Because
but were they called ISIS back
then? They were
then.
AQI, Al-Qaeda
okay.
Iraq.
I think that's what he meant.
But Al-Qaeda was like, no, that's not us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
They're the penguin to the Joker.
Yeah. Like, we don't want this rabid dog on our chain.
They're chaotic evil, and we can't have that.
Yeah, and they want to build countries.
It's because Al-Qaeda actually owned legitimate states before then, and they knew what it would take to
they know how hard
to
it
do
is.
That again. Yeah.
And yet, they continue to strategically take areas where they know it's not going to be, it's, you know, there's not going to be a lot of American backing, or
it's just because those people are so oppressed, you
they
know,
are.
All the time. You know, you talk
well,
about
ISIS
fighting a war in a third world country, it's so hard for that reason. And like, that's like, why are we still dropping bombs on Yemen? You know, why are we still bombing Yemen when we have so much evidence that says it's counterproductive?
Because the Saudi Arabians are scared crapless because Syria is ready to fall on the northeastern border and Yemen's getting ready to go Iranian.
Exactly.
All of a sudden, it's all Shia and Sunni all over again. And it's just dangerous because Rand Paul got crucified, not ISIS style, in the press. But because
Did they
said,
crucify people?
I think the press does.
Well, I mean, ISIS.
oh, no, they literally do.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they
I knew about beheadings and burnings and
no,
stuff.
No, they nail you to a cross and they put you up at the entrance
they're
of the village.
They're just going with whatever.
They go, I mean,
every
how they
horrible
succeed
death sentence.
It is the most awful social media they can.
Yeah,
right.
So then they can get recruits because they're recruiting from every country in the world.
It's the 21st century version of Genghis Khan, where Genghis Khan would would slaughter entire villages, leave one person, and send them on to the next village and say, Genghis is coming, and we're about
then
to...
Would just retreat.
Yeah, and so the city would just fold. And, you know, his armies, because they used horses for the first time ever in history, were so quick that oftentimes they'd get there and just raise a village and rape and pillage before that other person would even get there.
Yeah.
And so they had this military strategic advantage in horses that no one had ever had, and it just terrified the entire plains of China.
That's kind of funny to think about horses being the top of
military
technology.
I mean,
they were the modern-day stealth bomber.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was on before you could do anything.
Totally.
And so what is happening now, they are using social media. I mean, I work in radio, and half of the stuff that you hear is just theater of the mind. And half the stuff that you see on social media is theater of the mind. I mean,
it's fiction.
It's fiction. I'm not saying that ISIS is not truly... I mean, they're truly beheading people.
Yeah.
I mean, the atrocities are real, but they also package it in a way that amplifies the effect.
And they appear bigger than they are.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so what is happening is it's the modern-day Genghis Khan effect. And it is you know... It's frightening, and here's the scary thought as I'm just sitting here listening to this. How do the Iraqis, do the Syrians, do these countries that have had these strong men that have kept them in power, who have been in power but have kept some stability, I guess. You know, they definitely operate through fear. Saddam Hussein operated through fear. You didn't have freedom. You didn't have liberty. But you didn't have ISIS.
Yeah.
You know, your individual security, you were afraid of your government, but you could go to work and be okay. And
well, imagine what Saddam Hussein would have done to a group like ISIS. Like
they would never have had the chance to exist.
Yeah.
It'd be like the Muslim Brotherhood.
They would have
had
no mercy.
So do the Iraqi people, do they, because they have lost that sense of strength, do they...
If you install a strongman...
Do they have to go through fighting ISIS themselves to regain that?
They won't fight ISIS because ISIS delivers the water.
ISIS will run over
them. ISIS has passports. ISIS has total... the areas they control, they have a highly functioning government, and they absolutely rule with Sharia law.
And that's the predicament we put ourselves in, is that, you know, like, okay, as libertarians, you want to say, just take your hand out of it and let it run its course. But at the same time, you think... Well, we kind of helped make this happen.
Sure.
Even kind of.
Yeah.
No, it's
we had a huge part in making this happen. So, like, do you just leave them out to dry now? Do you just let them fall?
There's
still many Christians in Iraq and in Syria that could just straight up be murdered.
About 2 million less than there were 2 years ago.
No doubt. But there's still a lot there.
No, there were like 2.5 million Christians in Iraq 2 mm-hmm. years ago.
Yeah.
Now there are 250,000.
Is that
either through
they are
just,
the oldest Christians that exist?
They're
the
both
most ancient.
They're both fleeing and being killed.
Okay. They're all trying to go to Turkey.
Yeah, and so Jordan, Turkey—they're all completely destabilized by the fleeing of Christians from Tunisia, Iraq, Egypt. All these countries that suffer. Well, I don't want to say suffered the Arab Spring, but went through the Arab Spring. Yeah, the Christians, there is a Christian genocide taking place in the proportions of the Armenian genocide 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There is no doubt about it.
And it's like, that's where I've always said my views as a libertarian have been challenged because if we never were involved over there, like I think we should have never been as a libertarian, then maybe there's no problem. But we did get involved.
The world doesn't start from a reset button.
Exactly. Exactly. We did get involved. And now we have this huge problem that we caused over there, and a lot of innocent people are dying daily, every single day.
But to counter, our helping created a worse problem in ISIS.
Can we re-help?
Yeah.
I don't consider our first involvement to be helping.
But we thought it was helping when we did it.
I never thought it was helping. And I don't consider what we're doing right now to be helping necessarily. But it's hard for me to convince myself
I think we can.
Uninvolvement is better than the alternative.
I totally think it is.
The best alternative to me, because ISIS will take Baghdad.
They
no
will,
doubt.
If you let it go, for sure.
And that is the plan, and then they're going to go to Damascus. And that's the thing, and I talked about this. The first time I read about it was the Boston bombing, because the Boston bombing was an attack by ISIS on the United States because he was obsessed with this, God.
The flag of Khorasan.
The black flags of Khorasan arise, and you need to join the army. So he goes to Chechnya. He gets trained by a guy that ended the you've probably seen him. He's a white, red-headed, green-eyed Muslim member of ISIS. He's pledged his allegiance to
American,
the caliphate.
Right?
No, not him.
No.
This guy's Russian, but he's Chechenian.
Okay,
But so were the Sarnev brothers, and he goes, the older one that died, goes over there, receives the training, totally indoctrinates his younger, brother that's very, able to be influenced. He watches all these YouTube videos. We get it, and I'd never seen this stuff before, and read it, and I was like, oh my, if this is where we're going, there's no beating this. Because they believe they can bring about the circumstances for Jesus to return in eastern Damascus, and then the caliphate, the global world caliphate, is installed, and everybody lives in an Islamic kingdom, peace on earth, under Allah, Sharia law. And you can't fight something like that, because it's a belief that can never be disproven, and it usually incites such anger and hostility within individuals.
I mean, unless you let them get what they want.
and see that it won't work, but
except
but then they've won by
yeah,
that
who
time.
Who wants to do that?
Who can overthrow them at that
yeah,
point?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
By that time is yeah. game over.
And so if that's who you're fighting, and that's what Al-Qaeda understood about ISIS and the reason that really yeah. bothered them and there was a split was because they're trying to – they actually believe that Jesus Christ is going to arrive in East Damascus, and that will be when the Mahdi, who's already here, will come about, and we will have global Islamic dominance again, the return of the caliphate. And you can't reason with that. You can't go to the United Nations and say, listen,
and that is what...
keep Jesus quiet, and then yeah. exchange, we won't put a military base in Turkey. You know, like, you can't...
And that's what I think a lot of things libertarians are unwilling to face, that is an actual belief. That's actually something that a lot of these people believe, and that's something we have to face.
They're required to.
Oh, and yeah. if you post about it, if you talk about it, then you are just a
neo-statist. An Islamophobe.
Yeah. Right.
I totally agree most of the time with the people that accuse other people of being Islamophobes. I don't think right now it is a threat to the United States of America. I don't think the United States of America is going to fall to ISIS or Islam anytime soon. I think it would take a long time for anything like that to happen. But I do think it is a significant enough threat to actually think about.
It's a long-term threat because yeah. it's a bunch of people who don't have hope that now have it. That's what's dangerous. Is in the Sunnis in northern Iraq and in Syria where a government's falling. And like, does it matter if Assad falls? Yes and no, but I mean, realistically, if you look at Syria, ISIS isn't even the group winning. It's the Al-Nusra Front, which doesn't want.
Yeah.
They're right. not ISIS, and they don't want to have Jesus come back at the end of the world.
In my view, what ends up happening is you end up having what you have in Yemen. Yemen is sort of a microcosm of what would happen overall, where you have these power struggles from regional powers are backing these various factions, and everyone is trying to gain control. And so within ISIS, it is a fairly chaotic organization, and it can't withstand. It really, it grows and grows and grows. And obviously, anytime that you are trying to nation build, anytime you are a group that is pillaging and gaining more resources, then you become stronger and stronger. But there doesn't seem. I mean, is there a central authority? Because I don't get the sense that there is
an absolute command.
There certainly is. Right. Yeah. There's
emirs in every area where they're stationed, and so above the emir is formerly Baghdadi, the name of the new young guy who was a physics teacher in Iraq is the new emir. I mean, it's one of those things. If Baghdadi is able to fully recover, then he'll be back. So it's more of an interim thing.
But here's the problem with a young, brand new organization. You can believe that these people are all in on a certain ideology, and that certainly is the case, but it is not entrenched bureaucracy like the Vatican, for instance. And so you're going to have a ton of power struggle. Go back to the founding of the religion with Muhammad. Muhammad dies, and then you split off into two groups. That is just the nature of organizations of these factions. You're going to have an organization that will grow too large, too fast, over too broad of an area. They will not be able to effectively do what they'd like to do, which is feed the people, give people bread, give people water, give people security. And you will have a very destabilized region, even more so than it is now. And that is just if we withdraw completely.
If you're also going to have
Jordan, you're going to have Saudi Arabia, you're going to have Israel, you're going to have Iran, Pakistan, all these existing countries that are stable trying to influence these groups and cause these
fights.
That
misses the one thing of why we'll always be involved. We put a state in Israel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what we do, no matter if we leave...
And you're saying not that from a libertarian perspective, you're saying from just a United States perspective, that's always how it's going to be.
It is, and it sucks, because there is no, they will be driven
there's
into the
no
ocean.
Out. Yeah.
Or the sea. They'll be driven into the sea and eliminated.
Yeah.
Or they won't be given the opportunity to flee, and it drags us back into every fight that ever happens again if people aren't successful in
beating them. Because we put them there in the first place.
Yep. And so the real answer to me is, and there isn't a good answer, the best answer is that we build good relations with Iran right now. That looks to be the best answer, which
because that's our best bet at keeping Israel alive.
Yep.
If we have an ally in Iran, then who's going to really fight Israel? I mean, Iran mostly supplies Hamas,
and we already own Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and we already have Saudi Arabia. That, I mean, it only makes sense at this point. And like, really, like the nuclear thing, I get it. I get it. I get why people are scared and how people are worked up into a frenzy over that. But if we were just a little bit more lenient on the Iranian nuclear policies, to where Iran would actually welcome us into their country to oversee their nuclear issues and everything, I mean, I think you could usher in a totally new era of Middle Eastern foreign policy there. But we're so strict about that, and I can't – I don't know. I don't know if that's a good or bad idea.
Because you can't just
let them have nuclear weapons. You know,
but that's the thumb in our eye. Yeah, is exactly. I mean, that was a country that there's no reason the Americans and the Iranians ever had any issue other than the British seized their oil.
Exactly.
But, you know, the real issue, too, like what really destabilized the region was Egypt democratically electing Morsi. And he's just been sentenced to death for being democratically elected as a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Talk about a harsh sentence.
For being democratic.
It'd be like if Barack Obama got elected and people decided death penalty.
Yeah.
Well, let's be
sorry,
honest.
Guess you shouldn't have ran, bro.
Have you heard the chicks on the right?
Yeah. But
good point.
So Egypt's the oldest and most influential and historic natural leader in that region, and because of the destabilization of the Arab Spring, it lost its standing because it fell to the Muslim Brotherhood democratically. And right now we're supporting their technocratic leader, Assisi, and he has things operating functionally. He cracks down on any type of fundamentalism. You go protest in any square, you get hit in the head with a baseball bat and you disappear. And he's protecting Christians, which is the same thing that people love Assad for in Syria. Mm-hmm. You know, Assad doesn't have many backing by Sunnis because they, you know, opposed to him, the Baathist or Shiist party. But Christians fear for their lives in Syria because if Assad falls, they have to go to Turkey, but they have to go all the way across the country. Because the plane's not getting
there. And I feel like that's what most people in America don't realize. You know, they don't understand that we're taking these regimes that have provided a safe haven, no matter what their policies are. You know, honestly, Assad is still a pretty despicable human being.
He's
on
better
the scale
than ISIS.
Of things. But yeah, he's a million times better than ISIS.
Let's not say a million. Let's say like 10. Let's go 10. Can we agree on 10?
I don't know.
Now you're worried about accuracy.
Yeah. Sorry.
Come on now.
When have we ever worried about accuracy?
I'd still say a million. If I could press a button and ISIS would go away tomorrow, I would.
I am afraid for your average person, your average human being that lives in that region. I feel awful for them for what they are about to face.
Well, that's the person that gets trampled every single time.
Exactly. But there is nothing that we can do to help them. There is nothing that the United States can do that will make it better, that will stop what is the steamroller that is heading their way. I'm sorry. All we do is make it worse. And we give the false sense of enablement that the Americans, at the end of the day, the Americans can do something. That the G8 can do something. We can't. And
because the G8's got their own factions.
I mean, the Americans can do something. The Americans can always complete their mission, but they never think about what the secondary and tertiary effects of the mission are.
There is no, you know? that just is not possible because human beings are involved. So if you plan it all out on paper, then of course it seems like here's the mission, here's how we complete it. But human beings are involved. Very many other factors are involved. There is no way to complete the mission. The mission will never be complete. Yeah. And so the risk is that you pull out completely, and the best case scenario is what I laid out, where ISIS collapses in on itself because of warring factions internally. That is bared out by just the very nature of how the entire Middle East has functioned in its history. It's very tribal. It is knitted together through a common language and a common religion, but politically it is not knitted together. We have done that in the West.
I think social media, though, social media and the fact that pretty much the entire Middle East is a third world country now, I think those two factors change that. I think the Middle East could unite in a way that is unprecedented.
Yep. We're excited about that here in America and in the West. Why would we not think that that wouldn't work in the Middle East as well?
Exactly.
Because Muhammad never named a clear leader of the religion after he died. And so, that is the wound, the original sin that will never be healed.
So if you were listening and you were sitting in Nebraska, the extent in in my view, yeah. First of all, sorry.
I drove through Nebraska
at least
recently.
Not New Mexico.
No, Kansas. Kansas is the worst.
No, Missouri.
I agree.
No,
I would take
no.
Kansas has a temperate climate and a gas station every 90 miles.
Yeah, man. I gotta agree with him.
It is full of unsupervised farm animals and potheads driving to Colorado as fast as they can.
I would take an assignment to Roswell today over any assignment in Kansas that is not Kansas City.
There are two
and
cities
that's just
in
Missouri.
Kansas.
Yeah, yeah, Missouri or Kansas, honestly, either one.
Loose farm animals and potheads. It sounds like Martinsville. Indiana.
Anarchy, bro. Anarchy.
Anarchy.
No, Martinsville has gas stations. Kansas doesn't.
So I saw my first woman with a mustache.
We just lost two viewers, or two listeners.
I saw my first woman with a mustache.
What else are they going to do in Kansas?
In Casey's General Store in Martinsville, Indiana.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It was I'm not like I'm talking your mustache, Peppers.
Yeah,
like I'm
this
not
is generous
anyone.
And thorough.
I'm not talking like light, like Greg.
We should get a picture of this and post it to the wall page.
Or wispy like Nick's. I'm talking full.
Yeah,
Bob Cavoyan.
Now
mustache.
I have to meet this woman.
Well,
I want to see.
I'm sure. I'm sure the sugar got her a long time ago. So it's sugar's diabetes,
the Indian disease
playing at home. So if you were in Arizona, go first meet Aunt Deborah and get some and then realize that the extent of your danger is the random chance that you will one day be at a shopping mall and it might explode. And the chances of that are so astronomically high. You're going to die in a car wreck. Or you're going to die of syphilis from Aunt Donna long before you're going to die. Sorry, I didn't know you were taking a drink when I said that.
Nick just almost got sprayed.
This is just like the associate pastor. Yeah. Aunt Donna's a squirter. So then, sorry, Greg, I didn't mean to make you almost throw up again. My bad. This Aunt Donna character. We need somebody who is a caricature artist to draw her
Isn't
up.
Isn't there a much higher chance that you get shot by a police officer?
Or, your dog will get killed long before on a SWAT raid than you will die from an ISIS strike. That is the long-term extent of the threat to the United States. The other threat is the fact that resources that we rely on, the oil and other, basically oil. What else do we get from Saudi Arabia?
Dates.
Dates. Yeah. Not like dates. I know you were like you got a horny for a minute.
He's like, where's this
just
website?
For a minute.
just for a minute.
Where can I find the black clothed woman?
It's always sad when
they
your
do
date...
what I say.
It's always sad when your date shows up and she makes you put the burqa on. So
I just don't feel comfortable.
So, you know, that it, my estimation, ISIS is a threat as far as we have a Boston bombing. We survived as a nation. We will continue to survive, and there are people that will tragically be killed, but you are not guaranteed to go out and come home safely at the end of the day. And it is much less likely that ISIS will strike and attack the United States if the United States is no longer involved in the region.
Maybe this is a obvious question, but why isn't Russia like really involved in ISIS?
Oh, they are. They are.
Because Putin's had his eye on the Middle East for a long time. I figured.
Oh no,
he's
Putin
looking...
is deeply involved. Putin was trying to prop up Assad.
Oh, yeah.
While we were trying to prop up Assad's opposition, Putin.
I keep
was
expecting him to like annex
supporting...
a bunch of land there.
That was before this whole Ukraine thing. That was the whole point of contention. Was that was where World War III was going to start? Was in Syria.
Oh, I know. Yeah, he's been like.
It still is.
He's always doing stuff with the Middle East, but I really haven't heard much since
all this real
ISIS
stuff happened. If the corrupt FIFA Qataris hadn't wanted to build a pipe, like the big issues, like what brought this all in is this all started when Russia got the Olympics. Russia got the Olympics.
Those bastards.
Which is so sad. The Olympics are an economic downfall for
everyone.
Most places. Yeah.
Oh.
You spend more money than you make.
Not as bad as the World
Terrible
Cup,
place
though,
to start.
So that's funny because that's what happened. So Qatar is the richest by GDP, individual GDP per person or per capita country in the world. And they have been dying to build a natural gas and oil pipeline into Europe for years. Right now, all of Europe's gas comes from Russia through pipelines in the Ukraine and then through Syrian control. To have any competitor would overthrow Russia's ironclad grip on Iran and Syria and that Axel of evil that George Bush described, except for North Korea. And so during right before the Olympics all got named and whatever, one of the Saudi Arabian princes went over on the authority of the head of Qatar, or Qatar, and said that if you do not restrict the ability for us to build a pipeline into Europe, you're going to have issues through Al-Qaeda and Chechenian rebels during your Olympics. Vladimir Putin's not a guy that ever likes to be threatened. So
no.
he put it in Sochi, way out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Everything could be monitored. One road in, one road out.
So that's how it ended up in Sochi.
Absolute ironclad control over everything to thwart it in the eye of the fundamental Sunnis that were really upset they weren't able to build a competing pipeline into Europe.
And it's also because it doesn't make sense for the Winter Olympics. It's a
temperate resort.
It's a resort town. Yeah. It's a temperate climate.
With snow.
I remember they had to ship in a bunch of snow.
Yeah. Yep. They have like beaches with palm trees on the coast. It's the French
they
Riviera
also have
of
stray
Russia.
Dogs everywhere too.
Yeah, a lot of dogs.
I remember there were like wild dogs everywhere.
We call them wolves here, but in Russia there's so much.
No, in Russia they're like pugs and stuff that are feral. I don't know if they're pugs.
Pugs.
But.
Wild pugs.
Wild pugs.
I love it.
Probably like German shepherds and stuff.
That's a wild pug. That's what they sound like.
I thought you were talking Aunt Donna again, and I was going to
interrupt. That's what I was doing.
That's what Aunt Donna's skills sound like. Could you imagine that right up next to your ear? Oh, God.
Now that'd make you pray. No wonder it was an associate pastor.
You do missionary just so you can run away.
Not missionary work, mind you.
No, that's for the associate pastor when he goes out and cleanses his soul.
We need another... I think our new We Are Libertarians tradition should be a Spangle rant at the end of the episode.
He has one good trigger warning in him a day. Usually it comes out in chat or when someone tries to rustle your jimmies online, you just torch him and then have everybody descend on him. Like wolves. A lot.
People think, oh, that Chris Spangle, he's a nice guy. He'll be able to take it. And then I'm just in a mood and I'm like, nope. And I go to the trolls and I say, trolls, descend.
And then that person weeps and has therapy for years.
I know. Greg has hit two of my friends. The one, sweet, sweet Rebecca. Like the nicest girl on the planet. Just, she's libertarian. She's like, haha, it is so funny when your friends make memes of you. And so Greg puts her face on Nancy Pelosi.
Well, it felt judgy. So I Bush doctrined her and I stamped it out before it was ever a threat.
And then another friend, Lindsay, she writes on my wall, hey, you should start drinking smoothies. And the next thing you know, she's like an anti-GMO. I forget, what did the meme say?
Have you guys met her?
I don't know.
She doesn't shower and she's got some body odor issues. Like, you know,
she's not as sweet.
Is she one of those people that doesn't believe in deodorant because of like
the aluminum causes cancer?
Uses some kind of crystal.
She sends lots of positive vibes. You walk into her house and it's all candles and this enormous crystal sitting in the
middle. Just the pink Himalayan salt mound with the lights.
She's like, put your hand on this and we're gonna hum a cone.
Another listener, Aria, she was like, what did she say? Light and love or something like that. Like light is always in there too. Like that's the healing vibes, the healing energy, the positive energy, the, you know, love and positivity and shut up. We like prayer, and that is it.
We are Christian ISIS.
Be honest about what you're thinking.
You are praying.
You have to understand. I like simplicity. Okay?
Tradition, not simplicity.
Tradition and simplicity,
but it's simplicity.
Really tradition. Why? No. Why would you take two words, shut up and listen, learn something, okay? Get it into your thick military head. Although I know that you are able to learn because you're in the Air Force.
I don't get it.
It's a military joke. If you were in the Marines, you might be slightly less able to learn.
Okay.
That's an Army joke. It's a slight to those. No. We love all
not
those
really
all those that serve.
Adam
no.
Kokesh, please.
Everyone
do not
that serves.
Come here.
Oh, everyone that serves.
Me.
Everyone. We'll get to my Memorial Day rant here in a minute.
Uh-oh.
This is going to get good. Triggered.
Yeah. I am settled for this Memorial Day rant.
Why would you ever say positive vibes and use two words when you could say prayer, which means the same thing, and it's one word? It's just
there's
simpler.
A third party involved in one.
Yeah, prayer.
Yeah, come on.
Prayer
man.
Implies you're beseeching some sort of deity.
God, profound. Oh, man.
Positive vibes is just the energy in your soul being sent out.
You're transmitting it through crystal.
Today that Chris Peffer's left Chris Spangle.
I just
wordless.
He did. He
no,
was literally
speechless.
My brain just seized
he
up.
He could not do anything about what was just.
I
said.
Just got so overwhelmed with anger at you, and I wanted to beat your little beard off.
Not Aunt Donna style.
This,
actually
no, no, no.
hit it.
No, I didn't want to like jerk off on it. I wanted to punch it so hard that it fell off.
Which
oh,
is
this
so
beard could take you.
Non-aggression principle. Could take you. Because
listen, when you say stupid things like, anyways, let's talk about Memorial Day.
Yes, no.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Unless you what.
I was just going to – I said non-aggression principle, and it took my brain off on this other tangent
okay.
of libertarianism.
This is what happens when you live with Creighton. You get tangential.
Yes, exactly.
He is the ISIS of We Are Libertarians. You have Creighton on, and you never know where it's
going
to
end. No, wrong. Don't associate ISIS with my name. That is terrible. But no, for real, non-aggression principle, libertarians – ISIS claimed responsibility recently for a quote-unquote attack on United States soil. When is the non-aggression principle broken, and when are we allowed to just go over and meet them with overwhelming force?
The problem is that won't do any good.
I mean,
if we depose Saddam,
for the most
and we created
part,
ISIS,
I agree.
Think if we depose ISIS, what's the backlash that follows that?
For the most part, I agree.
You know,
I agree.
I mean, that's assuming we don't want to kill all the innocent people that might join up the future.
But I mean, at what point, you know, how many attacks do you let ISIS have?
Well, when Paul Blart can take them out.
They're finally... No, I agree.
I know what you're saying. What's your red line?
You know, yeah, where's the point? Where's the point? What does ISIS have to do in America for us to finally draw the line?
The answer's simple, really, because all you have to do is go round... Because the only reason Baghdadi was effective was he rounded up Saddam's generals. All you have to do is back two or three in a coup d'etat, put them like we did in Europe with ironclad support and military support. All of a sudden you have a council of Saddams that are totally beholden to you
but
militarily.
But I mean, that has proven to, you know, backfire against us in
the
past
in Egypt.
As well. Yeah.
But how often are they overthrown?
I guess not often, but
Pakistan's
it's
gone
kind
a long
of a
time
roll of
by
the dice still.
I don't know that it
is. Not as big a roll of the dice as just eliminating everybody over there. And
it is, but the problem with that is an absence of authority tends to yield results where you get individuals who have arms and are ideological.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, if you have a sect, like, the only reason Assad's in power is because he's way more predictable than if we had fundamental Islamic leaders.
Well,
or
we tried to take Assad out of power.
Oh, yeah, but that was a shot at Russia.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's not necessarily a shot at
Which
anything
is so
other than
ridiculous.
Getting rid of the total monopoly he has on European oil. But like, really, it's not a terribly difficult question. It's purely a question of backing the correct rogue generals that were members of the Ba'athist Party that know how to win, which is all Baghdadi did, and saying, listen, you'll create a dynasty. We'll do like we did in Saudi Arabia, declare you guys king in the royal family. You'll rule until you don't anymore, which will be a very long time. All you got to do is listen to what we say. But that's not exactly libertarian.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I was heading with that.
It's not libertarian at all, but that's the there are real answers. Like, I'd love to see a democracy arise in a group of passionate individuals that live in Iraq and want to build liberty and freedom for those that.
But the chances of that are so low.
No, because the United States is the exception to that rule. We are the one exception in history where, in France, it devolved into collectivism. In the United States, at that time, now clearly we've had some transgressions since 1776 to the ratification.
No.
We are the exception to that rule. And then to expect that from anybody, I feel like it's a pretty high standard too, because they haven't lived with our experiences. The context creates the circumstances of how you're going to arise. And so right now, what's the best thing for an Iraqi citizen that is not radical, that just wants to go to work and just wants to drive home safe? An absolute authoritarian technocrat leader that if you even think about having a black flag of ISIS or you go on a street corner spouting about religion, you're gone.
Yeah.
That is not libertarian in any way, shape, or form.
It's hard to think about as a libertarian, but
you can't.
I mean, it's totally true, because if you tried to just make a libertarian government happen over there overnight,
wouldn't happen.
No.
They'd fall. I mean, look at what we did with an authoritarian democratically elected regime here.
Yeah.
With Malaki, he fell.
All right, we gotta move it along. We're getting up to the time limit. We're trying to keep this thing under 2 hours, people. 2 hours, 2 hours.
When did that rule come around?
So we are on something called libertytalks.fm.
Okay.
All right, okay. And so we have a 2-hour span, and I have to edit in time. So we got to try and keep it around an hour and a half. And really, 2 hours every week, that's a lot of us.
I mean, we've had
five-hour
episodes
we
before.
We are charming as hell.
No.
But
that goes without saying.
Right. So Memorial Day.
Yes. I'm excited to hear this Memorial Day.
I posted something on the We Are Libertarians Facebook page. I really cannot stand Memorial Day and Veterans Day. And it's not because I hate soldiers. It's not because I hate people who've served in the military. It's because I just can't stand all the cliche memes. And, like, it's just take any sort of thought and common sense. What is so funny, Nick? What is so funny?
James Neese.
Oh, okay. All right. No, it's hilarious.
I just kind of agree with you.
I want to get Nick's opinion on this because Nick served, but I would think that I wouldn't. Like, obviously, libertarians are non-interventionists. I guess I need to go check this. Everybody at the table has started dying laughing because they checked their Facebook.
Good job.
I just got PTSD triggered from him dropping his phone.
He dropped his phone on the table, and everybody just immediately jumped under the table.
Check their screens.
Oh, gosh. Is your phone okay? All right.
That's good.
Someone tell me what's going on Facebook, because I want to look it up.
All right. Let's focus, people. Let's focus. Let's bring it all back. Everybody take a deep breath. So I just get sick of Veterans Day because, Memorial Day is not Veterans Day. Memorial Day is about those who have passed away in the service of our country. And I feel that the best way to support our military men and women is to support good military policy, non-interventionist foreign policy, and have less deaths to quote-unquote celebrate on Memorial Day. The less people that die in the service of our country, the better. And it's like conservatives take it the opposite way and use it as a day to justify the beating of more war drums and to basically buy into the nationalistic bullcrap. It's not that I don't love my country. Obviously, listen, my last name's Spangle. I'm jingoistic as hell. All right, I love America. I love the people of America. I just don't love our government. I don't love our government's policies. I think that they hurt people. And so I just don't think that we need to. It goes back to what we talked about last week. It's like people say stuff and share stuff on Facebook on days like that because everybody else thinks that's what you're expected to say. You know, you're not expected to say, like, post anything on Memorial Day except some sort of thing about how great America is and is better because we killed more people for our country.
Nick, have killed a lot of people.
We have on all sides. Am I being a granola eating, non-GMO, broad ripple living, crunchy hippie who will in 15 years be standing on the side of a street downtown holding a sign that says War and Peace? Like those. Am I out of bounds? Am I crazy? Am I offending you in any way, Nick? Because I don't want to trigger you.
I would have to say no. Personally, my only Memorial Day post said something to the matter of Happy Memorial Day. Don't let the sacrifices of those who came before us go to waste.
Right.
Because I do believe sacrifices were made, and mm-hmm. I think they were necessary sacrifices way back in the day. And I think we shouldn't let them go to waste, and meaning that I think we shouldn't let our freedom be eroded by things like the Patriot Act and stuff of that nature. And I think that's what a lot of conservatives don't think of on Memorial Day. I think you're right. I think a lot of people just think it's a time to blindly accept any military action that ever happened and go along that road.
Yeah.
I think what Memorial Day should be about is honestly respecting the people that have died before us and asking ourselves deep down, you know, was it worth it? Because, I mean, if that's not a question you're asking yourself when you're sending thousands, millions, honestly, millions of people to go put their lives at risk for you, then there's something wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
It should be a day for reflection. It should not be a day for blind patriotism, exactly. Blind nationalism.
Exactly.
It should be a day to think about what those people, you know, not just the men and women who died ultimately, but also the think about the PTSD that people suffer when they come back. I'm sure you have. I know I've lost friends. You know, we lost a friend, Corey DePew. I don't know if you knew Corey, but Corey went in and he lost his life in Iraq. You know, we have friends that have served in military that we went to high school with that are changed people.
There's a different statistic out there that not many people know about. 22 veterans a day commit suicide.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the rate at this point, 22 per day.
And when we have a discussion like we've had all this evening about ISIS, was it worth it? Were our policies 10 years ago, going into Iraq, nation building, was it worth their sacrifice? And so you can't have that discussion because then you get the knee-jerk, well, this is not the day to have that kind of discussion. And
it's the only day to have that discussion.
When are we going to have it tomorrow?
People automatically assume that you're trying to, like, you know,
I'm trying to save lives.
Oh, what you were doing, you know, you're just trying to make their death seem like, you know, like, oh, it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
The fact that they died. But that's the complete opposite of what libertarians are trying to do. And that's
I'm trying to make their life mean something.
Exactly.
To stop people from going into a war where they don't agree with.
Exactly. Change the policies. Just because we think that someone died in an unjustified war, just because someone died in an unjustified war does not mean their death means nothing. It doesn't have to mean nothing. You know, you have to change policy. You know, you have to do something about it.
You have to, if you're going to go the route of incremental change, you have to make it where if someone is a conscientious objector of the purpose of a war, they are not required to go. There are ways to change it that would be quite beneficial. I know someone the other day just made it where a Vox, Ezra Klein's website, on Memorial Day released an article that we talk about bank holidays, we talk about corporate profit holidays. Why don't we talk about conscientious objector holidays?
Yeah.
If you have that, it brings it to the forefront. Why do we allow banks who manipulate the London Interbank Offer Rate or manipulate the federal funds rate or any other type of financial exchange that is used to figure out interest rates, why are they allowed to pay a fine and then repatriate their profits on a one-day exemption? And someone that merely didn't want to go to Vietnam or go to Korea to defeat a failing ideological theory of the domino theory that communism all of a sudden just spreads like herpes. And clearly when it collapses in itself, on itself, as we have so learned, there is no reason to not give a holiday for conscientious objectors when we have, beyond all shadow of a doubt, figured out that that was not true.
Yeah.
Domino theory was false. There was no reason to go into Vietnam. Vietnam was no threat, and we initiated things with the Gulf of Tonkin incident. We provoked a war, and a bunch of the baby boomer generation died for absolutely no reason. And yet it's unpatriotic to say that they shouldn't. The most patriotic thing you can do is say we were wrong as a group.
Right.
And to say that they died for no reason, they were sent over there by no reason for men who looked at them like pawns and didn't view them as reasons.
Right. I'm watching the Indy 500, and before the Indy 500, we've got these long, you know, it's just like my brother and dad, especially my brother, like my brother worships Rush Limbaugh and everything he says, and he's like, keep these Mexicans out, and I don't want the gay people to touch penises and that kind of stuff. And like, my brother's just super Republican. I love the kid, but he's, you know, apparently I got all the brains in the family and the looks and the talent. And hopefully all the money when my parents die. But
to those who much is given, have much responsibility.
I'm just kidding. There's no money left. We're at the 500. He's like, oh, do they have to depress me before we just, can't we just have fun? Have one day where they're not making us feel bad about people dying. Like, well, you really should feel bad about people dying. Like, you're supporting all these.
Everyone should.
Yeah,
remember the melee accident?
Yeah. It's a bad thing when people die.
Yeah. And it's not that I don't appreciate the sacrifices that people make. It's just that I want less sacrifices to be made. And you can't get people to pay attention on any other day. And if you put something up, that, like, I put up on a Clickhole article, which is the Onion sister site. Clickhole's hilarious.
It's amazing.
And the article was, today is the day to celebrate all the people who make the decision to send people to die in wars, or something along those lines. And Bill Wallace, a teacher who is all up on our business, and he's always like, oh, guys are just so disrespectful, and this is a police state, and blah, 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 and, you know, always defending the state, and obviously he collects a paycheck from it. And
we should take a moment to appreciate how well the public schools in the United States are doing and how effective a job he's doing.
Yeah, and
I learned so much in the public schools, just tons.
As demonstrated tonight.
Yeah.
Hey. Profound.
That's right. Think if he had been properly educated, how much more wise he would be.
Look how wise he is. I don't know. It might have messed things up.
Yeah.
It's all these.
He's like Yoda. He's the libertarian Yoda.
You know, and he's like, this is not the day to post articles like this. And I just responded, this is exactly the day, because this is when people pay attention, and people like you don't give a shit when we post it tomorrow. And the fact that you're offended means that you're paying attention to it. And you should be a little offended. And
because you don't have a right to be.
Right. And then he's like, well, I didn't see We Are Libertarians post on the wall today honoring the deaths of soldiers. And so I wrote up a little ditty just for Bill, and it got like 100 shares or something ridiculous. It was crazy. So I think people really responded to it and are hungry for social media. And this goes to it. Any one of these days, please don't take the opportunity to be an asshole and put things in a way that offends people just to offend them. Put it in a way that makes people think. And think about what these sacrifices are for.
Don't inflame.
Yeah.
Approach it well. Yeah. Do it where you actually have a chance of making them think. Because if you go on and just terrorize their thread, it's never going to work. No. You're going to create entrenched opposition.
You're going to get a lot of people worked up, but
check out We Are Libertarians Facebook on these. Yeah, on these holidays, check out We Are Libertarians. We'll start trying to give you some social media ammo. Okay, we got to wrap up. So. Time to wrap it up like your fucking Aunt Deborah.
That's a fuck bomb from Spangle.
I know. He has been dropping some more colorful language.
dropping fuck bombs left and right, people.
In summation, Google Cal or Al Jolson. Preferably sing minstrel songs in urban environments.
I feel like we should start doing the Daily Show thing where they post like the extras after the episode, you know?
We used to have the Easter eggs, yeah. Okay, final thoughts.
Off the record.
We're gonna switch this up a little bit. We're gonna go around this way. So we're gonna start with Greg. Final thoughts for this episode.
Final thoughts for me. We started out initially talking about Rand Paul. That's what sort of sparked the conversation on ISIS in the Middle East. But you know, Rand Paul was right on this one. Rand Paul is right. He is leading the charge to get net neutrality rules revoked. He's quoting nullification, which is nice. Rand Paul is going to make you angry when he talks about social conservatism. But other than that, and the Snowden thing is going to bother some people, but realistically what he is he's an individual that believes in... He's a constitutional Republican. He tends to err on the side of minarchy. He believes in the rule of law. He is not a pure voluntarist libertarian, and that's not a bad thing.
He's also operating within the government, and so it's, you know...
Because the thought that all of a sudden we can just say, government's going to collapse on itself. Governments never collapse on themselves. They might dwindle, like England and the English, you know, the British Empire. Mm-hmm. The sun clearly sets on that now after about 2 hours a day. But...
They don't get much sunlight.
They still exist, and they still have... They're still in the G8, and they're still around... Rome, same thing. Until we can have an example of where a government collapses in itself and evaporates and men live voluntarily together, we can't get there until we have people that show us and demonstrate to us that pathway.
Right.
And Rand Paul, I support him wholeheartedly, without a doubt. Does it make me mad when he talks about social conservatism? Yes, because I think that's a conversation that doesn't even belong in politics. But it's what he's doing to court voters. So if you're the libertarian that can't wait to attack him and think, ha ha, look at my internet points. I totally just wrestled him with that meme, you know, while you're in the basement in the dark with the glow screen on your face, you know, seriously, just walk out, take a walk, see the sunlight, find a friend, you know, other than online, quit going on Fiverr and buying a girlfriend to look better to all your online bros. And then if you're the Republican that's going to attack him because he doesn't love America, you're an idiot. You are a Sarah Palinite, and you have probably had a lobotomy. So I don't take kindly to the people that crucify him, which is what I believe is being done from both sides, because you're trying to make him look like he cannot be elected. He can be elected. He spoke in Manhattan. He had upper white class liberals there that were all for him for surveillance. Today he spoke in Chicago on the South Side and talked about creating economic freedom zones and how ridiculous it was to go and ask for Washington to get their money back to rebuild their communities. Nothing drives me crazier than when he gets hit from all sides, including Democrats. And yet you have Wyden that stands with him, Ron Wyden. You have Cory Booker stands with him. Yeah. You had an individual today, Spangl posted the article earlier this week of whether it was a good thing. He is, to me, a testament that there exists, you know, what divides us is not as big as what unites us and what we believe in. It's just we haven't talked about what we actually believe in so long. People have no idea what it is.
Right.
We get so into the, we can't let the gays marry. That leads to cultural decay. Right. Or corporations are greedy and rich and they mm-hmm. hold us down and we have to unite as big labor. Like, those are all so off the way the world exists now. We need to have real conversations that exist on security, privacy. Where do rights come from? The most fundamental, basic questions. And until we do, stop the snark, because you're not original. You just look like an Uber douche.
Nick, your final thoughts.
I mean, as far as Rand goes, I can't agree with Greg more. I think, you know, obviously I don't agree with Rand on every position he takes. It's kind of impossible to if you consider yourself to be a libertarian. But I think pretty confidently I can look at Rand's campaign and guarantee that if he were elected president, America might become a little more free than we were before Rand was elected president. And I think the chances of that are much more real than someone from the Libertarian Party. And I mean, like I said earlier, I think it's arguable that Rand Paul is possibly more libertarian than Gary Johnson. I know a lot of people won't agree with me on that, but I think the argument's there, and I think that says a lot. As far as the whole foreign policy debate goes, I mean, everything I said throughout the podcast, I think pretty well says how diluted the conversation is these days. you know, people on both sides want to dilute it to, oh, we shouldn't do nothing. We shouldn't do anything, I should say, because, you know, we'll just make everything worse. Or, oh, we need to do everything because we, you know, we have to fix all the problems over there. We both know that neither one of those sides are completely right. You know, if we do nothing, then one thing could happen. If we involve ourselves over there too completely, then maybe we screw things up even worse. So, yeah, I mean, I think the conversation we had pretty much summed up my opinions pretty well as far as everything goes.
We save the best for last.
Teach us, Yoda.
Yeah, thank you for that pressure.
Short
That's
and sweet.
That's awesome. Well, the cops are still killing people. That's a bummer, right?
In Greenwood.
Right? Yeah.
Freddie Gray.
So we need to work on that still.
Actually, the cops in Greenwood killed somebody, like, you know, right next to where Maya used to live.
You know what?
Right
now
next to where Hannah
saying that, yeah. I'm kind of getting shocked because I literally didn't realize someone in Greenwood died from cops.
Today.
Like, today?
Yeah, friend of a friend.
Jeez.
In the apartment complex where I used to live, right in the building that Maya used to live in, around the corner where Hannah Drazic used to live. So, right there. And I'm thinking the cops just didn't know Maya moved out. And
yeah.
Not to make light of the situation, because it is, like, heinous.
No, I mean, something doesn't have to be... The subject doesn't have to be happy for something to be funny.
True, true.
I firmly believe that, but, man. Well, you were talking about unions, too. I want to bring up, I saw an article about California labor unions are trying to get exempt from the minimum wage law that just passed.
Because they know that they'll never be able to they'll lose membership.
Yeah.
They'll lose employable working members, and all of a sudden... Yes. They lose.
I don't know how anyone can take nothing. The unions in California are just. I mean, I don't have a problem with people unionizing.
No,
you know,
but
coming together and negotiating, but like the California unions, I don't know how people take them seriously.
Well,
the unions don't
all
serve the same purpose that they used to.
No, now it's about political clout, not getting people higher wages.
Yeah. Well, they're all career union.
You look at the people that are in charge of the union, and they make way more money than the people
they make $1 million a year as union reps.
Some of
That's
the
all
highest
you need
paid,
to know right there.
Yeah,
but they're down for the struggle, like Reverend Al.
And if anyone's not watching Mike Judge's show, Silicon Valley, they totally should. It's awesome this season.
It is fantastic.
It's
really
kicked in the high gear.
I didn't see this last episode.
Oh,
but
it's really good.
Don't tell me Richard was dead the whole time. No spoiler alerts.
No, he's been super alive. He's like an angel. It's really good.
Okay. I look forward to watching it. My final thought is helping sometimes can be a form of control. As I have learned in my personal life over the last year or two, sometimes when you help people, when they don't necessarily want you to help or they haven't asked you to help and you just help anyways, it really can be a form of controlling them. And that, to me, is all you really need to know about our involvement in most of our foreign policy. They don't ask for our help most of the time, and we help them because we want to control them. And I just don't think that that is good foreign policy or personal value. Control is never a good thing. So anyways, that's my final thought for this episode of We Are Libertarians. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
We're sending positive vibes out to all of our listeners.
Light and love and healing to all of you.
Namaste.
Namaste. Get lots of non-GMO organic fruits and vegetables in your system.
Oh, God.
Means no broccoli. Broccoli's a GMO.
No.
So are bananas.
Okay.
There's not a form of bananas that exists that aren't technically a GMO.
Crossbreeding is not the same as genetically modified foods. Come on.
If it's not in Genesis, don't eat it. That's what I say.
Yeah. If it's not in Genesis, unless it's a fig,
yeah, I agree.
Not pure.
You can have figs, dates, and fig
Are you sure that was a pomegranate?
And women cannot eat apples. Look what happened. God trolled you just for even tasting the apple.
It wasn't necessarily an apple.
Yeah, a lot of people think it was a pomegranate.
A lot of people are wrong.
It just says a fruit.
That could be true.
Not in original Hebrew.
Yeah. All right.
Do you even Yahweh, bro?
All right. Thank you for joining us on this episode of We Are Libertarians. I am your host, Chris Spangl, wishing you all healing vibes. And as promised, we always do will next time.
You want to do that again?
We always will do next time.
I feel like I just watched Paul Walker.
No, we should just leave it.
I don't know what.
And as always.
Does anybody have an aspirin? All right. Thank you for joining us on We Are Libertarians. And as always, we promise
to do better next time.
Music for We Are Libertarians is provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. Please check out his website, briankeithwallen.com. The song is Bad Spell.